Lord, have your will. Have your way. Let your will be done. You know, we prepare and we prepare. Let my lips be your lips. I know people have come to put a demand on my anointing. Iron sharpens iron this morning. When Nancy says we are speaking to mature believers, you know, some of the stuff on my papers we might not get to, and I might just tell different stories because of who you are. And listening to the Holy Spirit is more important than what's in my notebook. So, Lord, we give it over to you. We have ears to hear, and we'll take it with us. And if we don't understand it right now, including myself, we'll ponder it later and write it down and pray over it. In Jesus' name. Say, would you pass out their notes? I started out as a math teacher 14 years. I've been 4 years in the school counselor's office. I was this close to getting my certification in special education. I actually took the praxis test and scored better on that than my counselor's test after my master's degree. I do have a passion for people who are a little bit different. I was taught by my mom and dad to love everybody. And I would always notice some people were afraid to love the unlovable. And our family has always been a family to love everyone. That's an inheritance that I got. I speak out of the New King James Version Bible. I read out of the Message, but if I go to quote, it's usually out of the New King James. The title of my workshop is The Sound of God's Guiding Us by Faith. And I self-describe as the faith girl now. We've walked a lot. You know, some of you already heard my story. Our family has experienced major tragedy with the loss of two of my eldest brothers to suicide. The redemption of brothers. And my good Christian sister saved husband, Michael Pauly. God just brings back what the enemy has stolen away. Our family has walked through depression. Some of us are still walking in it, but I just speak those things that are not as though they are. We are victorious. We have the keys. God gave us the keys. And because we've had personal experiences with such tragic events in our life, we've got keys to help you get through those. So if any of that rings a bell, search us out. We'll definitely be willing to pray for you. And pray for you not just today, but on and on and on. When I was first asked to come and speak, that was great. Oh, we're going to Alaska. That's great. The mountains are awesome. But what I looked forward to most was meeting Christy. I've been praying for Christy a long time. And if you don't know Christy, Christy is Nancy's daughter. And when we heard Christy's story, my sister and I, we were just grieved because her story was similar to our family's story. And we want her to walk in victory like we've seen victory come to our life and family. So it didn't happen this time. That just means I have another opportunity to come back to Alaska. It's all good. It's all in God's timing. So we brought her a gift, and we gave it to Nancy, and Nancy will take it to her, and I believe it will, you know, plant seeds. It will be good fertile soil when we do finally have a face-to-face. And I when I asked Henry, because I knew I had to ask Daddy's permission, can I meet your daughter? I know that they're pretty protective. I sent Henry an email and said, I would like to meet your daughter. This is who I am. I don't have an alternative agenda. I want to give your daughter a gift. I want to love on her, and I just want to get to know her. I've been praying for her a long time, and I'll continue to pray for her a long time. She is protected from the top to the bottom, to the left to the right, the front to the back. And she is blessed and not cursed in Jesus' name. But I'm so happy to see so many faces that I saw in Georgia. And so many new faces that I'll get to know even better. So thank you for being here. You can tell this is the teacher in me, right? the scripture Nancy gave me was 2 Corinthians 5:7. I walk by faith and not by sight. And that's the main scripture that I was to build on. I call things that are not as though they are. I have been raised by parents who speak truth and walk in truth. And when I was told something, it happened. Whether it was a consequence that I deserved or it was a blessing that I deserved, it was going to happen. So when I read the Word of God, I believe it's going to happen. And when I see spiritual wonders that can take place in the modern day, I'm going to latch hold of them. I'm going to claim those, not just for myself, but for my family, for my friends, and for all God's children. I have a playlist on my iPhone. It's kind of therapy. I call it worship. The first one is Amen by Kid Rock, and it has explicit language. I couldn't play that. But it reminds me of my nephew Ben that lived with me for about half a year. You know, I helped him get over some things that he was wanting to get over for a little while. I've got a song I sang last workshop called Blue Sky that whenever I feel that depression, that depressive spirit, you know, just murmuring and coming around and getting on me, I just blare that and sing, 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 sing. I will be singing you probably at the end, this Green Door on the Submarine. It's on the back, but I want to start off with this one that's, I just sing it all the time. And when I thought about coming to Alaska, I knew that Save and Dee would be coming with me, and maybe our husbands. But any time I thought about coming to Alaska without my daddy, my mom, I've always been close to my mom, not Papa Wolf. But in these past few years, I have really gotten to know my earthly daddy, and I love my daddy, and I needed my daddy here. This is what my dad was doing. Not very long ago. He went to Georgia, but this is what he was professing. I'm old. I'm dying. I could die if I go. You know, those things were coming out of his mouth, and I was grieved. And I didn't quite know what to do about it, because I knew so many people relied on him. I mean, they have an open door where they live. It is always unlocked. You walk right in, and you get ministry in that house, no matter how old you are, no matter where you came from. No matter what your circumstance, they will love you. And I needed him for more than what he was wanting to stay around on this world. So I had to go to him, and it's not very often I've gone to him. I dropped my daughter off at school, and they live in the same town where my daughter goes to Christian school. And I sat down on the couch, and I said, I need to talk to you. And I acted just like this. And I had to tell him I needed him to go to Alaska. And do you know what he hears up here? He comes up for ministry. And Nancy prays over my mom and dad. You're not finished. Your life is extended. Your work is not done. And God will give you the answers that you seek. I get the blessing of having my earthly parents more years on this earth because my daddy was obedient when I went and asked him to come with me. If you're not overwhelmed by your calling, then you haven't seen it clearly enough. That's Bill Johnson. I know my calling. And I'm overwhelmed. And I'll walk that calling long after my daddy's gone. But my daddy's with me when my ministry was birthed. And I will always have my daddy's love and respect and appreciation and encouragement every time I minister to anybody else. I have what he's planted in me, and I appreciate and love him. I'm a teacher. I roam. my good sister Sabe has known me a long time and heard me talk and talk and talk and talk. And it wasn't until I talked about being a teacher and when I would have students that were a little unruly, and I would go close to them and they would know that I was there and I was watching them, and my presence would cause their behavior to change. So when I teach, most of the time in a regular classroom, I'm wandering up and down the aisles, around groups, in and out of desks. When kids don't ask questions, I look at their papers and I ask them questions. But she latched on to that presence thing, you know? It's just amazing what God plants in us to say to you that you get a hold of and that you go away with. So I'll walk. Well, I come from the rural Midwest. It's the land I love more than all the rest. It's the place I know and understand, like a false front building, like the back of my hand. And the men I knew when I was coming up were sober as coffee in a styrofoam cup. They were Earls and Rays, Harlans and Roys. They were full-grown men. They were barbed wire boys. They raised grain and cattle on the treeless fields, sat at the head of the table and prayed before meals, prayed and our Father, and that was enough. You pray more than that, and you couldn't stay tough. Tough as the busted thumbnails on the weathered hands. They worked the gold plate off their wedding bands. And they never complained. No, they never made noise. And they never left home, these barbed wire boys. 'Cause their wildest dreams were often fenced in by the weight of family, by the feeling of sin that'll prick your skin at the slightest touch. If you reach too far, if you feel too much. So their deepest hopes were never expressed. They just beat like birds' wings in the cage of their chest. All the restless longings, all the secret joys that never were set free in the barbed wire boys. And now one by one they're departing this earth. And it's clear to me now exactly what they're worth. Oh, they were just like Atlas holding up the sky. You never heard him speak. You never saw him cry. But where do the tears go that you never shed? Where do the words go that you never said? Well, there's a blink of the eye, there's a catch in the voice, that is the unsung song of the barbed wire boys. Secular songs can be so spiritual. That's a bluegrass song by Claire Lynch. She and her husband form a group. This is Earl's song. I have a family member. He's older. He's going through some things. You know, I think of him. I think of my dad. Even if you're close to 80, you're not finished. I don't care what age you are. You are not finished. God has a work for you to perform. All of us. I have faith that every day you can get up and do what Nancy says. God, what do you have planned for me today? What do you have planned for me today? Let God order your steps. I need you, Hope. I need you. And I haven't met some of you yet, but I need you too. Intimacy. How many of you have been hit with things in just in like the past week to try and impede your ministry trip coming up here? I mean, I just rebuke that in Jesus' name. You know, our families are covered. We are blessed and not cursed, including our family and friends back home. But we've got texts and calls, I mean, of emergency situations that, you know, God's just going to have to take care of. And we are not going to be, you know, diverted from what we need to do. But a situation that some friends are dealing with stems all around intimacy. And if we can't be intimate with one another, how in the world are we going to be intimate with our Holy Father? True intimacy. And I am so blessed to see men waving flags in this sanctuary. How many times have I gone into a church where, you know, the ladies might go in their little corner and do their little thing, but they're walking all over. We have lots of men on the praise team. We have gifts, and they're using them. I so love my husband, and my husband's my pastor. We have home church. You can't not go to church when it's in your home. I wore my purple today because he bought me a nice earring and a necklace set for Christmas, along with lots of other purple gifts for Christmas that we didn't realize until I opened them all. But this is honoring of him, and it reminds me of him. He didn't come this trip, which just means I'll be back because he'll come sometime because he's supposed to be up here too. But he covers me. But he was always afraid and criticized for his sensitive side. He cries. Well, he actually blubbers sometimes. He is tender and sensitive, and he knows how to be intimate. Intimate with his wife, intimate with his God, and in appropriate ways, intimate with his congregation and those people around him. Now, he's working on that. I have to pull on that a little bit with him. I'll go up to anybody and ask questions, and, you know, we're best friends real fast, unless you really push me away and avoid me. And I'll respect that, too. But I'll find a way. I usually figure out what you like, and not in a manipulative way, but I figure out what you like and just start asking questions and sharing stories about that. Or, if you're an acts of service girl like Lisa McDonald, who's not in this room right now, but she'll hear it later, you just do things. You do things for her that are helpful, and that's how you love on her. I have all these scriptures at the bottom that I have researched and read, and I had pages and pages and pages of type notes, and God just keeps bringing me back to handwritten notes and to the actual paper-printed Bible. I tend to do things electronically now, but, you know, the call in my life, I know, although I never wanted to be a pastor's wife, nor did I ever want to be a missionary. So I'm already a pastor's wife, and things prayed over me are like, you're going to the nations. You're going to set foot on all continents. And you don't always have outlets to charge your iPods and iPads and iPhones, but you do usually have permission to bring in a book. So I'm back in my print version Bible book. And that's good, because I need that. And that was a stretch for me again, but it's a walk in obedience. Walk by faith and not by sight. I like to pull up my electronic Bible, but I need to get in that word and know more, and not just rely on everybody around me to quote scripture for me. And I want to thank Nancy for making me so Christ-like this year. I've had the toughest year I have ever had in my professional life as an educator. And when I fly out on Monday, I go to school the next morning on Tuesday. I'll get in at about 5:11 in the evening on Monday. I wake up and I have to be at school at like 7:50. And then exactly after my school's over, I have to drive another half hour to a job interview. And I have weighed it in my mind. You know, I hear Sarah's story. Her story is very similar to mine in so many ways. Am I supposed to stay where I am? Or am I supposed to move on? Walk by faith and not by sight. Where I am, I'm being abused. I just can't say it any better. Professionally being abused. And I don't want to go into details to dishonor my leadership. But I appropriately went through the channels to express my discontent, which was very founded, and not very much changed. Do I stick it out? Do I pray? You know, I've done all those things. Do I go to work every day and do my job as unto the Lord? Yeah, I do. But when your worship music involves Roar by Katy Perry and Eye of the Tiger by Survivor, and you really have to gird yourself up with, I am strong and can survive this day, you really wonder, do you want to go back there to survive it another year? And God has, and I don't like change. This will be a big change for me. I've been at the same school for 20 years. But this is what he gave me. He gave me an assistant principal who was a Christian. He was actually, what do we have here, an Air Force base? In Anchorage? Okay. I think he was in the Air Force, but he was actually stationed up here. So that was a connection. He was almost a minister. He was trained, but not practicing. He actually led youth group. He's been an accountant. He's a former math teacher. There are so many things about him that are just comfortable. And we struck up a very good friendship very quickly. But he's also been abused in his professional environment. And this is what God worked out. I sat on the interview committee to hire him, and I believe that God has already hired him, which he has, at this new school district as the head principal, so that when I go to interview next Tuesday, he's going to be one of the ones in charge to hire me. Amen. But my dilemma was, do I accept the job? Is this really God's perfect will for me? And I'm just believing I'm going to figure that out up here. You know, God's going to make it work out. That's my job. I know that's my job, just like I wanted out of the math department and in the counselor's office. Walk by faith and not by sight. You know, all around me, it's awful. I try and make it as best as I can. I try and cover my teachers as best as I can. They don't know how awful it is. I try and make their life and my students' life as best as I can make it. But you know, when you're professionally trained and you've done it for so many years, how are they ever going to do it without you? You know what I mean, don't you? I'm looking at Pat. But that's okay. You do what God has planned for you. And the school district that I'm looking to go to, I went to the board meeting. I've done everything that God said for me to do. I've driven through the little town. I've prayed all the way there and back. I went to a drama that the kids put on. I bought flowers for the counselor who's leaving. I'm already very familiar with all of the county system and the programs and the inner workings. And it would be such an easy, good fit, and I could be such an asset to that school. And I believe they'll offer me the job. But I need somebody to tell me, God, through somebody's mouth, whether to take that job or not. So I'm walking by faith right now, expecting. I don't like change. I said that. But you just want things to stay the way they are. And God, let's flip over and let's read the back of this. When I said that I was so happy that Nancy required me, put a demand on my anointing to be so Christ-like so I could just survive this year, I couldn't have done it without my in-depth studying in God's Word and being so focused. I like to read lots of books, fantasy books, like knights and kings and queens and sorceries and hobbits and dwarves and all that, and I'll just read. That's junk food for your mind and for your soul and for your spirit. So I have had my sisters help make me accountable, and they've given me some books to read, so I have focused on more spiritual books and reading. Now, have I read a couple of the other ones? Sure, because it's nice to have a candy bar every now and then, isn't it? Yes, but you still have to eat your broccoli to be healthy. So I am going to focus on right now at the bottom where it says recent spiritual meals, Jim W. Gall, the second one, out of the book The Seer, which I'm not finished with because I can only read a little bit at a time and then I put it down. I've got like, when people would say they had like four or five books going at the same time, I would just look at them going, what is your problem? But they're so meaty. You can only digest so much at one time and then you have to move on to something else. And what I've found is if you look down through here, this sparks this, which lines up with this. And if I had read that too soon, then I wouldn't have got this when this person said that. So God's got it all figured out. Walk by faith and not by sight. The Seer, on pages 54 through 55. Over the years, I have been convinced that in the Christian life, at least two things are certain. God never changes, and we are always changing. Our life as Christians is a continual transition from one place to another, one level to another, one understanding to another. The purpose of spiritual light is to bring us into change and growth. The more light we have, the more change we experience, and the more we change for the better, the more we are brought into higher levels of glory. Unless we are in constant transition, we will stop somewhere along the way and settle down. The Christian life is a frontier. Oh, wow. What's the motto up here? The last frontier. The Christian life is a frontier. God did not call us to be settlers, to be pilgrims and pioneers. Remember, let me read that again. God did not call us to be settlers, but to be pilgrims and pioneers. Remember that what you keep in front of your eyes is what you will become. A lot about change. God's changing me. God's helping me change. He changes all of us. Listening, being obedient, having faith, having discernment to know the Word of God. You know, I look at you mature people and you know this. So I'm hoping to get my little soapstone out and rub on you guys a little bit to sharpen you up, make you a little more precise so that when you do need that weapon, you're a nice, strong weapon. But we can't stay where we were. We always need to have a fresh testimony. You know, I just shared one that's I'm living right now about my future job. I could go back and tell testimony after testimony after testimony. And that's good, because sometimes you have a common thread, a common theme that you need to share a previous story to help somebody through. When Nancy was in McConnellsville, like she said, we go early and we pray and we help, you know, plow the field so that it's fertile, so that when folks come in, they're ready to receive. So I walk in early, you know, when the people in the local church are setting up, and there's a girl in the bathroom, and she's kind of washing her hands, but she's kind of stuffing something in her purse real fast. And she kind of turns around, and she looks kind of embarrassed. She says, oh, don't pay attention to that. That's just my nerve pills. Like, I'm going to judge her because she's in a church having to take medication for anxiety. I looked at her and I said, honey, let me show you what I got in my purse. So I pull out my St. John's wort, which is, you know, the homeopathic way to help deal with mood. And then I said, oh, besides, I got my own prescription for Xanax too. So, honey, I love you. And I hugged her and I said, it's all good. And you know, God works miracles, but sometimes God gives us doctors to help us through what we need to go through too. You don't know what you have and in you that could bless somebody else. And I came to find out she was a couple years behind me in my own graduating class. You know, she was a bit younger, but we had a lot of common background there. But she, if I hadn't shared a little bit of my weakness, she would have walked around in condemnation and guilt for me seeing her nerve pills. So what? So what? We all have issues. Oh my goodness. I could name off a whole bunch of my own. Y'all see them. I don't need to name them off. I probably have a few that I don't know about that you could point out. But we all need each other. And the vulnerability of us, the being truly intimate with other people, that's what God wants. Intimacy with Him and intimacy with one another. Because it's all about loving God's people. Okay, what's my scripture with the pledge? Let me find that one. 2 Corinthians 5:5. This actually is in the New American Standard Bible. But if you want to turn to it, I'll give you some time. The New American Standard Bible says, "Now he being God, who prepared us for this very purpose, is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge." I read that same verse in the New King James Version, and it just didn't have the same meaning until I looked it up in the New American Standard Bible, and it had the vocabulary word pledge. And I don't know if you've seen me in the back. God has me buying flags for states and for countries, and they're like my prayer cloths that I praise with. So I wave them around, and while I wave them, I pray for that country. I pray for the people that I know in that state. I worship God with them. I lift people up, and then sometimes I'm prompted to give those flags to certain people. So that's where they become the prayer cloth. They have been loved on and prayed over and then given out so that they can be beneficial to others. But the word pledge, you know, so you go back. I pledge allegiance. Say it with me. Everybody knows this one. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And usually, you know, we're facing the American flag. We put our hand over our heart. So, you know, we're going back to elementary school here. Why did we really do the pledge every day? We're honoring our country. We are walking in unity. And sometimes we do it so often that we forget what it means. But that word pledge brought me back to the pledge that I said over and over and over in public school. So I thought, how do I transition that? Because pledge is pretty important here. He's prepared a purpose for us, and he gave us the Spirit as a pledge. So how does that become spiritual, that pledge that I just had so long in school? So here's what I morphed it into. I pledge allegiance to the Spirit, God, creator of all the universe, the heaven and earth in which we live, one body, in Christ, unified with grace and peace, for all his children. So this is my pledge now. I love people. That's my favorite thing. I am a quality timer. I like to sit down and talk. And you know what? If I'm at your house and your dishes are dirty, I will clean the entire sink as long as you stand in there and talk to me. I don't have a problem with that. Not at all. I'll even clean bathrooms, as long as you're within ear and voice shot and keep talking to me. If you ask, I'll clean your bathrooms out you round too. But you know, I'm just a people person, and I love people. Carmen, the singer, came into town once, and he had T-shirts that had different colors representing different races, and underneath it said, "Passion for People." And that was just, it made sense. And if you look at me, you know, I kind of look like my sister and like my mom, but I don't have blue eyes like the other people, my brothers and sisters. I have brown eyes. they have a nice long face. My ex-mother-in-law would say, if your face was any more round, it would be a ball. But it's just recently that I've come to realize when I go other places, people look at me and they'll interact with me and they'll talk with me. I think I know you. Did we meet such and such? Are you friends with such and such? Are you related to such and such? Because I look familiar. So I've decided that depending on how you do my hair or get me out in the sun a little bit or what clothes I wear, I could probably pass for lots of different ethnicities. And that's okay, because I love them all. And one day, I'll be interacting with lots of different ethnicities, because I'm walking by faith and not by sight, because, you know, I'm not there yet. But Nancy's helping me get there. Let's turn to James. Sabe, how far along am I? James 2, 14 through 26. This is a long one, but the main scriptures that I pull out are 14 and 17. And pauses are okay. A lot of people like to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and cover up silences with talk, but silence is okay too. And I think I've trained my pastor husband to wait. When he'll ask a question, it's a teacher thing too. You have to have at least a 10-second wait. If I ask you a question and only give you two seconds to answer it, some people don't process that fast enough. So he would move on and I would say, let's wait. And then I also make everybody in my congregation, which, you know, it's in our living room, so we might have two of us, we might have 20 of us, and 10 of them will be teeny tiny kids up through teenagers, but that's okay. But he's learned now to pause. Pauses are important. It gives people time to think and process. You guys know that you rabbit trail all the time when somebody's speaking. Something will spark and off you go. Yeah, and then what did she say? Yeah. James 2, 14 through 26. This section in the Bible is titled, Faith Without Works is Dead. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which they needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You can flip over to the back and you can look at your submarine as I'm singing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, babe. It just ain't happening. One is your left hand, one is your right. It'll take two strong arms to hold on tight. Some folks cut off their nose just to spite their faith. I think you need some works to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make-believe. One will make you grow, the other one just make you sleep. Talk about it, but I really think you ought to take a leap off of the ship before you claim to walk on water. Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith comes from God, and every word that he breathes, he lets you take it to your heart so you can give it hands and feet. It's gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice. Otherwise, it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, babe. It just ain't happening. One is your right hand, one is your left. It's your light, your guide, your life, and your breath. Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a... Wow, that's silly, isn't it? The late, great Rich Mullins and the Ragamuffin Band. You know, I pull out songs that some people probably have never heard. And that's okay. You'll think about them a while. Maybe you'll go download them on your iPod or your Android device. A screen door lets air flow through because you need refreshment. And it keeps out the skeeters. And oh my gosh, don't you have big ones up here? And they find me. These windows were open last night and one found me all the way in the back. But there is a purpose for a screen door on a house, not on a submarine. A screen door in a submarine is going to let all the water in and we're going to drown. Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. A screen door on a submarine is absolutely worthless. So if you profess to have faith and you're not walking a walk, you're not talking a talk, it's worthless. So what do you have faith for? What are you supposed to be doing because you have that faith? Action. Actions and works aren't going to get you to heaven. You are saved by faith in Jesus. We all know that. You know, that was one of my scriptures, and you guys probably have that one all memorized. But to be obedient to God, we have to listen to his spirit, and we have to do. We have to be doers. And even more than that, we have to be unified doers. While we all go off and do our own thing in our own little world, sometimes we come together and we're little puzzle pieces that all fit together to be one unified body so that we can corporately do something awesome. Wherever two or more are gathered, we're a lot more than two here. If we had a goal and we put our mind to it and we got together and we prayed, I totally believe that would happen. It might not be in the timing that we think, but I totally believe that God will bring forth things that are not as though they are. It will be there. It will happen. So let's go to the front of my little notes page. Your learning objectives, which teachers always put on the board. Modern education. Kids need to know what they're going to be learning. So your learning objectives for this lesson today was the student will be able to state examples of the sound of God's guiding him or her by faith. After listening to the Holy Spirit, the student will be able to demonstrate faith. You don't have to turn over, I'll read it to you, but you can if you want. But the end of Jim W. Gall, the seer, says, "No one can see faith. We can observe faith in action as it is demonstrated, but only the Spirit of God can impart the ability to discern faith in another." So we don't see faith. We see how faith becomes when we have actions and our environment is affected by spiritual callings. This is the way it's going to be, and it's going to be that. Because I believe it's going to be that way. And you know what? I have such bad sinuses. Every time I go, I get sick and I get clogged up and, oh, I get migraines and, Lord, why do you do this to me? Ew, that was nasty, wasn't it? What did I just call unto myself? Sickness, illness. What is coming out of your mouth that we have just done since we were little because it's an inappropriate coping mechanism that we didn't know was inappropriate, and it makes us unhealthy. So even though I get headaches, I've started to say, Lord, you have reformed my sinuses. I no longer get headaches. I don't have to take decongestants. I am healed in Jesus' name. Do I still get some headaches every now and then? Sure. But I'm believing that they're going to go away and I'm not going to get them anymore. So now I can add to it, when I change altitudes, my sinuses won't have a problem because I am healed in Jesus' name. Walk by faith and not by sight. Call things that are not as though they are. I am healed because this bugs me. It gets in the way of me doing things that are helpful to other people because I feel bad. I don't want to feel bad anymore. In the little Boxton area, I call it a pretest, a post-test, or an exit ticket. Depending on how a teacher teaches, they can ask the exact same questions before an assignment, before a lesson, after, to see what you didn't know before, what they need to focus on, and then what you know after. Because if you only have a post-test, that's autopsy data. What do I mean by that? That's dead data. That's done and gone, and you might get an F. And I didn't know you were going to get an F until I gave you that final test. So if I gave you some little tests along the way, quizzes or these little exit tickets, I would know what you don't know to help you be better at what you should know. So this is what you need to answer in and amongst yourself. Or by yourself. And I actually want you to write something down. Because we are action people, aren't we? I filled out this paper different when I was down in Augusta, Georgia. I'm not the same person I was. Nor does my family and friends have the same needs as last January. And that wasn't very long ago. Is that when we were there? Yeah. So you could fill this out 4 times in a year and it would be different. But this is a snapshot of who you are right now, what your ministry is, and how you can support those around you. So what do you believe for, A, first yourself? And I will do the teacher pause, which will be longer than 10 seconds, and let you write something. And I know there'll be those of you that are ADHD and have already written out that one and are going on to the next one even before I started. But that's okay. God loves all people, and he uses all people. And you notice I'm doing the teacher thing. I'm actually seeing that you're writing. And those of you that aren't writing, probably when I get closer, probably will start writing because you have been convicted that you really should be filling this out. Why am I making you write this? My hope is that you'll start speaking it because our words are powerful. If we start speaking life into ourselves and those around us, life-changing things happen. Good life-changing things happen. So if this is what you're believing for, write it down and then pray it out and pray it out loud, not just quietly. So what do you believe for your family? And your family is your immediate family, you know, biological or otherwise, because the one after is your local church body, though some really say, you know, that's their family too. But I've made a distinction between the two. life without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a... Okay, so this is our works. That's why we're doing this. We don't want to be useless. We want to walk by faith. So we're writing down things that we're believing for. Then we're going to speak them into existence. I have a stepson and a nephew that I'm just believing will walk in mature Christian ministry. Right now, they suffer from addictions, immaturity, bad life choices. They ignore the family sometimes to get their own way. I really don't have a strong relationship with either of them, but I believe that it's going to happen. You know, that's reality, but I'm believing something different, and that's what I'm praying for. I think you already knew what I had for A. I'm getting a new job. What do you believe for your place of employment? You mean I can have ministry at my job? I don't just lay my Bible down at home or my spiritual gifts, leave them at home? No. You're God's people everywhere, and you're a light on a hill, sometimes where there is no light. And you don't ever have to say the name of Jesus or God. You can be an example in how you live your Christian life. I love peace. My husband and I insist on peace in our home. And I really think that's probably why my stepson is so opposed to living within the house rules. And they're not really outrageous. But we focus and we have a lifestyle of peace, and that's real important for my place of employment too. What do you believe for the global church body? What do you believe for the global church body? You mean the world is not flat, it's actually round? I can go somewhere else and see other people? And in modern day, it's instantaneous that I can talk with somebody clear on the other side of the world. And I can talk with them asynchronously too by sending them an email that they can read at their own convenience. And then they can get back to me because, you know, when it's lunchtime for me, they're probably sleeping. Nancy's big word for this conference is unity. But I just pray over people when I'm praying for other nations. I pray for Alice Springs, Australia, and they have a big Aboriginal population there. And I just speak that they come to know the love that is Jesus. If people would just know Jesus' love and how he loved people and start expressing that to first themselves by forgiving and loving themselves, then they could love everybody else better. But I just speak love into them. Question number two. This is where the rubber meets the road. How does this belief manifest in your life? Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as worthless as a green door on a submarine. Do. Act. Become, say, speak, forgive, apologize, confront appropriately. I heard that sigh. I've put on my big girl panties and finally realized that I'm a leader. It took me a while to figure that out. At my school, I'm the school counselor, but I have lots of principal duties. And you know, when something really needs done and nobody's taking care of it, who do they call? I mean, everybody in the entire school district. I get things done. I am the information disseminator. If I can't do it, I get it to who needs to take care of it, and I follow up to make sure that they do. And that's rough. when you have to do all your own duties and then the duties of other people too, just so that you protect your teachers and your students who need protecting, because they all deal with a lot. So what are you doing? And wasn't it hard to apologize the first time? I'm sorry. I fell short. I'm sorry that I said that. I didn't mean it that way, and it is all my fault. Please forgive me. I'm sorry that I have done this for 15 years of my life. I didn't know it affected you like that. Would you please forgive me and help me to understand how to love you better? That's what it's about, loving one another, getting to know each other, intimacy. What are you? Who are you? I'm looking at Gene, and he just fit right in to our family because we just harass each other all the time. You know? All the time. He says, you're not going to let that go, are you? You're not going to let me live that down. I said, every day of your life that I see you, no. Well, that's the sense of humor, too, that Nancy's talking about, you know? But you can take a sense of humor too far, too. When you're trying to be funny and it's really not, you're really being judgmental, it comes across as well. Or sometimes the person's just sensitive that day. So you have to even watch your humor and your funniness. I think we have about 5 minutes left. Is anyone brave enough to share anything that's on their paper that we can agree with you will happen? Because we can have faith with you, because sometimes I am just so, there are some areas of my life that I just have victory over, and there are some that is just like, I can't do that, so I need Sabe and my sister to come along, and my parents, I text them or I email them and say, I got this issue. I need help. Pray for me. And you know what they do? They send back encouraging messages. My brother sends me, you need to download Katy Perry Roar and listen to it. You know, things like that. So I get built up because I have a hard time being strong all the time, because you just get beat and beat and beat. So I have people, my church people, who happens to be my family too, that help me. Anybody brave enough to share?
I really don't know hardly any of you, so I guess I feel pretty safe here. I guess they were telling what we need prayer for, or that we're asking prayer for, or what we're believing for. Okay. I'm praying for my family. I'm praying my family will be restored. What the devil tried to steal will be restored. That John and the kids will have less anger and more peace in their lives and walk in their destinies.
Amen. Amen. Yes. You know what I just heard? We're not the only dysfunctional family. So if we can make it, you can make it too. You know? Who else has one to share? This is the class participation part. And it's outside of your comfort zone, because this isn't a microphone that's getting recorded. And it's really going out there in the atmosphere.
Talked about it in the car coming down here, but people don't communicate enough to each other to get their real feelings out, and so the other, because people don't know what they don't know, and especially us men. A woman has to tell us what we're doing that's causing them trouble, because we aren't as mean as you think we are at times. We just don't know.
Lisa Bevere says, women aren't problems, they're solutions. She's one on the back that's been feeding me. And I've really latched on to Scott McKnight. I got to Scott McKnight through Brady Bodie, an interview with Lisa Bevere. But, you know, you hear this, which leads you to this, which leads you to something else. And I just, don't you just love those God trails? You know, that just no other way could it all come together if God didn't supernaturally work it out. Anybody else have a sharing moment?
I would like to have agreement here for what I wrote down for what I believe about myself. I need to communicate not the bottom line first, but what I'm really intending to say so that the bottom line doesn't crush what I meant to say. So I need change in my motivational reason for why I'm saying something so that it manifests itself in word and deed. Because if you don't do that, you can mix things up and crush things that you meant for good, and you just have to dig yourself back out. And I would rather not go through all that and go do it right the first time. So that's what I would really appreciate agreement and prayer for that. And since I have the microphone, I'm going to say to you, Beth, that go to your job. I'm going to say that if you look back on this piece that you wrote, I believe God's going to show you that you already have it there, and you already have what you are supposed to do. And I just really felt like you're to go, and that you're going to be used in the position, and God has already set it up for you over there, wherever that is.
I totally received that, and what you don't see on the recording is that I was doing my little family's happy dance by going in a circle, stomping my feet, and moving my arms up and down. That's the happy dance. I totally received that. Any? Thank you.
A pillar of salt. Don't look back. Don't become a pillar of salt. No, sometimes we have a tendency to be determined to, I know I have to hang on to this and I'm just going to have to ride it out, but what's in your heart? What's the desire of your heart?
To be healthy, and it's not my job to fix that person.
And to have the faith that God's going to take care of the position that you're leaving, and that there are people there that you've trained and that can fill in the gaps after you're gone.
Christ opens doors and he closes them. And sometimes you don't want to leave, but you'll find out the door is closing and you have to leave. And what he has for you is a lot better than what you have right now. And so I would say, go for it, girl.
What a blessing. Anybody?
I believe the Lord's been telling me for several years to be out of debt. The only debt I have is my house. And so I've been stuck at, well, what do I do? Where do I live? Well-intending Christian sisters worry about that more than I do even. You need a place to live. And just this week, I mean, just yesterday when I was driving up here, I got a call from a guy I was supposed to have an interview with next Tuesday. And instead of having an interview with me, he hired me. He said, we're just going to hire you. Can you stop by the office in Kenai and fill out all the paperwork? And it requires moving out of my house because it's a live-in position. And it's like, okay, now, you know, does he want me to sell the house, get out of debt, or rent it? And well, so of course, I'm probably supposed to sell it if I'm supposed to get out of debt. But, yeah, that requires a big movement. And all my church family is, almost 30 miles away from where I'm moving to, and they said, well, are you going to still come to church out here? It's a long ways to come, and I don't know. That's like up to God. I want to stay with my family that I have out in that area, but if he wants me to be in Saldana, I guess I will be there, but I'm still going to, right now I still wanted that foot left in Nikiski.
I hear you. Change is tough. Very tough. Yes. The way to do change, I figured out, is to know about it ahead of time. Have a plan to get through the change. Have people encourage you as you're going through the change and support you. And then after you've done it, have a big party and say, yay me, I've done it. But I'm not one that's, bam, this is going to happen, make it happen tomorrow. Oh, dear God. Yeah. Yes, he does some things like that. I don't see Nancy back to impart to us yet. Anybody else have a sharing?
Before I share just what do you believe for yourself, what I wanted to say to you, Mary Beth, was just the quote from James Gall, and that is, unless we're in constant transition, we will stop somewhere along the way and settle down. The Christian life is a frontier. God did not call us to be settlers, but to be pilgrims and pioneers. So that's for you. But it just... So what do you believe for yourself? For me, I believe that I am the daughter of the King. And everything, all of the resources of heaven are available to me. That I walk in the fullness of God, all that God has called me to. And I walk in his power and in his authority and continually growing in his destiny. I'm always walking in and towards that more and more, that I'm an overcomer and I am a woman of the word.
And it doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're 80 or whether you're 2, if you draw breath, God has purpose for you in his ministerial walk. I've got a great nephew. Are you sharing the story? Oh. Okay. You'll hear it with Sabe. But my 2-year-old great nephew can hear the voice of God. And it's just awesome to be blessed by, it doesn't matter what the age. It doesn't matter. A comment was made that Moses didn't start his work until he was nearly 80. Anyone else have something to share? They lived a lot longer then. Amen. We live as long as we're supposed to.
Paul said he knew he wasn't going to die on that ship because God had already showed him where he was going to die and how he was. So when you know that you have destiny ahead of you, as long as you set yourself in agreement with that destiny, God will stop death from taking you out.
Amen. I don't want to take away anybody's thunder by whoever wants to share. And what we're going to do is I want you to be near somebody, and I want you to put a hand on your paper, and I want you to put a hand on their paper. And we are going to have faith in action. You don't necessarily have to share. If you want to share what you have on your paper, that's great. I just want you to lay hands on it and agree with them. Lord, we just lift up these requests. This is an obedience. This is a stretching for some of us. This is a, oh, wow, could it really be like this? God, make it happen list. We know you can make it happen. Lord, I just thank you that you impart into us the words, the actions that we need to put in the environment around us to make these things come to pass. We are calling things that are not as though they are. We are walking by faith and not by sight. Lord, I just lift up all of these people, all of these mature Christian people who still have wondrous faith for even more miraculous things in their lives and those people that are around them. And maybe people that they've never met that they're interceding for on the other side of the world. Lord, we're believing for that too. You honor our request because you are our daddy. You want to give us the desires of our heart. And in Jesus' name, I call these things into fruition. It is a done deal. Amen.